This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at REACH 2017, held on March 23 and 24, 2017, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
We come now to the main session this evening, and we're grateful for Brother Howard Bean to be with us. I have known Howard for many years. I have had the privilege of working alongside of him in teaching and administration at Maranatha Bible School many years and good years. I've very much enjoyed those times. Howard has been a Christian day school teacher for more than 40 years. He is teaching children of his students. And Howard also has served as a church leader faithfully. For many years, was ordained first in 1978 and has served God's people, and just delighted to have Howard with us here speaking on the subject of a servant heart. Brother Howard has a particular need this evening. His voice has been giving him difficulty. I would invite you, as Howard is speaking, to pray. To just bring that to the Lord, that God would sustain him and enable him to speak. Brother Howard, would you come? And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, you are rich in grace, and we pray for an anointing of grace upon Howard as he speaks. We pray that your Holy Spirit would fill him and bless him. And we ask for healing for his voice. Give him a voice to speak what you have put on his heart. We trust you, and we pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Good afternoon, servants. Greetings in the name of the Savior who became a servant. He had a servant heart. Let this mind, this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who made himself of no reputation, but took upon him the form of a servant. Earlier today, I was in a breakout session about leadership challenges, and one of those aspects of that session was dealing with the unexpected and developing a contingency plan. And I've been surrounded by people that have had colds for the last 2.5 months, and I've been perfectly fine until coming here yesterday. I felt my voice tightening up a little bit, so I have a brother here, actually my son-in-law, Stephen Gingrich, who, when I have trouble, he's supposed to bail me out. So I may ask him to read some scriptures and things for me. Well, I'd like to tell you of a few people who had a servant heart that I want to learn from. There's a well-known minister from America here who went to visit a famous Christian man, Kagawa, in Japan, who was well known for his work among the poor in the slums of one of the big cities there. And so he arrived at the train station, and Kagawa was there, but he was dressed as he was among the poor. And so this big-time preacher mistook Kagawa for a porter and said, "Here, fellow, carry my bags. I'm looking for Kagawa." And so Kagawa quietly carried his luggage. Elizabeth Elliot says, "The best way to find out whether or not you really have a servant's heart is to see your reaction when someone treats you like one." Well, that's what she said. She has died since saying that. And so we do well to pray as one servant prayed, "Lord, drench me with humility." I've tried to learn from those far away, like Kagawa, and those close to me, like my mom. My mom was a daughter of a military man in the British Army. And anyway, through circumstances, they came to my grandpa Richardson's, came to Canada, where I'm from. And at 1 year old, my mother's mother died, and at age 2, her father died, leaving her an orphan. And she was cared for by some acquaintances and ended up in an orphanage and had some interesting experiences there. But eventually, a Mennonite preacher, a young Mennonite preacher by the name of Curtis Gressman and his wife, took pity on her, welcomed her into their home, although she was a very naughty child. But at age 12, she became a Christian, and for the next 92 years, she served as a servant. She just died last month. I remember being at the International Bible Fellowship meetings in Goshen, Indiana. The call would go out for someone to clean the ladies' restrooms, and there was, for some reason or other, a slow response to that appeal. But my mother, oftentimes, she would be the one that would volunteer eventually then. So yes, she gave the others an opportunity to volunteer first. She was also known for her hospitality. We had many visitors in my boyhood home and from around the world. She had a servant heart, and so did Curtis Gressman, for that matter, in taking her into their home. I've been positively impacted by those who have gone before me of my acquaintance and family. My Aunt Ruth Bean went to China as a missionary, and then when the communists approached and her life was threatened, then she went to Japan. Another aunt, Elsie Cressman, served in East Africa, Tanzania, for about 25 years. Aunt Dorothy served in Chicago with the Latinos. Another aunt served as a midwife in the area where Calvary Bible School now is. Anyway, you may have heard of generational sin. I'm not sure what I think about that. But I'd like to think more about generational service that we can convey to others and of our family, the value, and the beauty, and the joy of service. I want to take a lesson from my spiritual forefathers, such as Menno Simons. He served for 25 years, sacrificially. Stephen, I'd like you to come and read what I admire about him, having left a very comfortable and professional position to become a heretic and a hedge preacher, and instead of having a peaceful life with his family, with his wife Gertrude and his children, he was off and on the run.
"He who purchased me with his blood," he wrote, "he purchased me with the blood of his love and called me, who am unworthy to his service, knows me, and he knows that I seek not wealth, nor possessions, nor luxury, nor ease, but only the praise of the Lord, my salvation, and the salvation of many souls."
Do. And then, in the generation following me, I take lessons from my children, who supersede me, certainly, in my areas of service, I feel. I have two children in Guatemala, one with Mennonite Air Missions, one with Jungle Breezes. I have a daughter at home teaching school with me, and a son who is a pastor. The biblical mandate for service is clear: serve the Lord with gladness. By love, serve one another. Psychology says, be confident, assert yourself. Materialism says, be satisfied, please yourself. Pride says, be superior, promote yourself. Education says, be resourceful, expand yourself. Religion says, be good, conform yourself. Humanism says, be capable, believe in yourself. Epicureanism says, be sensuous, enjoy yourself. Asceticism says, be lowly, suppress yourself. Rome says, be strong, discipline yourself. And Christ, he says, be serving, live for others. The Bible says that Jesus went about doing good. Too often we're just going about. A servant heart appeal applies equally to men and to women. I was thinking of the godly woman Dorcas, who was full of good works and alms deed. She died, as you may recall, the story in Acts chapter 9. After she had died, Peter came to see the situation. And the widows and those in need stood around showing the coats and the garments, the things that she had sewed for them. We might call that an acceptable quilt show, perhaps. I wonder how much she charged for those garments. Well, there are quite a few Dorcases today, fortunately. Then there was Paul, the apostle, who said in Acts 20:19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. And in his epistles, he often refers to himself as an apostle and a servant. I like to read Romans chapter 16. It's just a whole bunch of names, you might think, but I get inspiration from reading about this church at Rome. And in verse 1 of Romans 16, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church. She's been a helper of many. Verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for Paul. Verse 6, greet Mary, who bestowed much honor, much labor upon us. Verse 12, salute Tryphena and Tryphosa. No clue, but I suppose they're twins, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, who labored much in the Lord. It just reminds me of my home congregation in Ontario of Grace Mennonite Fellowship. The motive for service is love. The gauge of service is sacrifice. The goal of service is the glory of God. The energy for service is the Holy Ghost. The perfect model of service is Jesus. If you're looking for a name for a new church, how about Slave Quarters Mennonite Church? Servant Fellowship, something like that. Jesus, by his example and teaching, showed us servanthood. For example, John chapter 13. Stephen? I'd like you to notice a few things from this familiar passage.
He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded.
And also then the lesson.
He said, ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them.
Christ's stooping was a rebuke to their rivalry and status seeking. He said, he that is greatest is servant of all. And he said, take an example from me. Taking a towel, Jesus redefined greatness. There's one well-known American, whose name I will not trumpet here, who says, make America great. Jesus' desire is to make Christians great by service. Having looked now at some examples and biblical instructions, secondly, I'd like to look at some attitudes and actions that reflect a servant heart, and then thirdly, look at some blessings of a servant heart. Some reflections, some actions and attitudes of that reflect a servant heart. Act unselfishly. Now, if I may, I'll quote something that Mother Teresa said. I don't agree with her theology, but I think she did model an example of service. She was brought face to face with a man who had a rare and horrendous case of terminal cancer. One of the workers that was working with this individual could no longer stand the stench and literally vomited and couldn't go on. Mother Teresa stepped in and took over, and the patient said, how can you stand the smell? And she said, "It's nothing compared to the pain that you must feel." A focus on the other. Jesus said, "The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many." This comes from Matthew chapter 20.
"But Jesus called them unto him and said, Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant."
So at that time and today, the big shots call the shots. They give the orders. But Jesus said, if you want to be great, be a servant. And he gave his life a ransom. He was willing to lay down his life, and he calls servants to be ready to lay down their lives. I know people sometimes say, I'd be willing to lay down my life for my brother. Well, that's commendable. But if a person is not willing to lay down their opinion, I wonder how ready they are to lay down their life. There was one of the Midwestern states where there was a church called Left Foot Baptist Church. And so a student, as I recall the story, went past this sign of this church, and he found out somebody that knew about the church and said, "How did it get the name Left Foot Baptist Church?" Well, he said, they practice literal foot washing. It's a good idea, I think. And but they couldn't decide whether to start with the left foot or the right foot. And these are the left footers that meet here. Well, there's also a Mennonite church in Kansas that divided some years ago over the issue of whether to literally observe foot washing or not. We need to act unselfishly as servants. This also means an attitude of humility. As a servant, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient unto death. It's very difficult to wash another's feet with your nose in the air. You can try it sometime if you like. A poet, Ruth Calkin, puts it this way in a poem, I Wonder. "You know, Lord, how I serve you with great emotional fervor in the limelight. You know how eagerly I speak for you at Reach." Well, actually it says at a woman's club. "You know how I effervesce when I promote a fellowship group. You know my genuine enthusiasm at a Bible study. But how would I react, I wonder, if you pointed to a basin of water and asked me to wash the calloused feet of a bent and wrinkled old woman, day after day, month after month, in a room where nobody saw and nobody knew?" A servant attitude. Remember a sister from our local congregation who would go and visit an elderly man, Christian man, week after week. He had no family. Don't think people found out about that in any great number at all. Act with humility. Act authentically. Not like Gehazi, who was a servant of Elisha, but he had an ulterior motive. Not like Diotrephes, who served the church, sort of. More so, he loveth to have the preeminence himself. Not sure who said this. "I am like James and John, Lord. I size up other people in terms of what they can do for me, how they can further my program, feed my ego, satisfy my needs, give me strategic advantage. I exploit people, ostensibly for your sake, but really for my own sake. Lord, I turn to you to get the inside track and obtain special favors, your direction for my schemes, your power for my projects, your sanction for my ambitions, your blank check for whatever I want. I am like James and John. Change me, Lord. Make me a man who asks of you and of others, what can I do for you? Act faithfully. There's a man called Archippus who was at Colossae. Paul told him, take heed to the ministry of the Lord that you fulfill it. And so today it may be a job of a Sunday school teacher, maybe preschool class or youth class or whatever class, school board member, a prayer warrior, a mother, summer Bible school teacher, kids club. You know, there are various levels we might think of status in some of the ways that we serve the church. But on a human level, although we may think of obscure service and prominent service, on a divine level, service is all the same if it's to the Lord. A servant needs to be tied down. Had a man tell me one time, he was asked to serve in a particular responsibility. He said, well, I really prefer not to be tied down. And my mind went to Jesus, who was nailed down. I think we could be ready to be tied down. And leaders ought to lead the way. Act in a harmonious way. Workers together with God. Those are some of my favorite words from Scripture. Workers together with God. A minister means a servant. A deacon literally means one who makes the dust fly. They're so busy helping. A bishop, I think of him as a servant of servants. I remember being at a fellowship meeting a number of years ago, and there was the food section where they were serving the food in another building. So after the service, I thought, oh, something I can do. I can go over there and help stack up the chairs. It was the last meeting, and help whoever was there. I found a few young fellows there working away. So I joined them. Another man came along, another young man, and he said, he recognized me, and he said, oh, you shouldn't be doing that. You're a bishop. Well, maybe he thought it was beneath my dignity. Maybe I was just doing such a lousy job. As one of my bishop friends says, everyone should be a servant from the janitor all the way down to the bishop. Consider some blessings of having a servant heart. Proverbs 11:25, an interesting verse that actually someone who was serving at the school where I teach, having joint devotions, one of the parents pointed this verse out, where it says, he that watereth shall himself be watered. The whole verse, the liberal soul shall be made fat, that is, the giving person shall be himself enriched, and he that watereth shall himself be watered. The person who refreshes and blesses others shall be refreshed and blessed himself. And as Jesus said, this is ESV, already now the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. So what are some of the blessings of a servant heart? Jesus said, if you know these things, happy are ye. So, young people, you want to be happy at home. Stephen?
Do you want to be happy at home? Serve your mother and father, your brothers and sisters. You can contribute in many ways. Try to make life better for others. Make part of the meal. Offer to wash the dishes. Vacuum the rug. Dispose of the trash. Wash the windows. Weed the garden. Change the oil in the tiller. Mow the lawn. Help your little brother put his toys away. Make a difference in your home to bless others and receive benefit emotionally, psychologically, and physically.
Do you want to be happy at church?
If you are an usher, show up early. Greet visitors with a smile and warm words of welcome. Get a glass of water so you don't have a dry preacher. And guide people to their seats in a dignified manner. If you are a teacher, prepare interesting questions and activities. Be familiar with the lesson context and let the lessons sparkle as you exude enthusiasm and knowledge. Look for opportunities to be helpful. Straighten the songbooks in the rack. Pick up bits of paper. Assist the elderly and those with disabilities. Show up for the cleaning of the church house. Speak encouraging words to others. Express appreciation to pastors, ushers, teachers, song leaders, and others who may be taken for granted. Be willing to hold a church office, and when asked to teach a Sunday school class, accept readily and cheerfully. You will bless others by service and also benefit yourself, and you will receive the ultimate benefit from God, who has given you opportunities and gifts.
Jesus said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you rule over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Someone sent me a little note that says, "It matters not if the world has heard or approves or understands. The only applause we're meant to seek is that of nail-scarred hands." Service helps one to be happy. Service also helps yourself as well as others. There was a man called Viktor Frankl, who was in one of Hitler's prisons. He, along with other Jews, faced atrocities. Their conditions were abysmal. But he was a doctor, and he did what he could to help the diseased and the dying. And after the Second World War was over, then he wrote a book called Man's Search for Meaning. And he discovered that people who kept their strength and sanity the longest were the ones who tried to help others, the other prisoners, and who shared what little they had. It seems that their physical and mental health was strengthened by their compassion, their service to others, and their focus on something other than themselves. And so he concluded, and he was right, that if a person faces life's challenges by trying to make life better for others, the effort strengthens the person's psychological and physical stamina. Serving others stimulates one's energy rather than depleting it. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Another thing, another blessing of a servant heart is a good testimony. I read of a missionary who went to Asia, acquired TB in India, was hospitalized in a sanatorium. He tried to be a witness there, hand out gospel literature, but he couldn't speak their language real well, but handed out tracts, and they said no. They just thought he looked like a rich American. One night, he awoke to hear an elderly man who was trying to stand up, but couldn't, and he fell back on his bed crying. And in the morning, he heard loud, angry voices of the nurses berating him for soiling his bed. Some slapped him. The stench was terrible. Poor man cried. Following night, the man, this missionary, awoke again to hear this elderly man trying to get out of bed to go to the restroom, but he was just too weak. And so the missionary, got out of bed, walked over to him, lifted him up and carried him to the restroom, just a hole in the floor, but he held the man there until he had completed his mission, then carried him back to bed and gently laid him down. In the morning, several other patients came to him and asked him for his gospel literature. And some of the medical staff also asked for his literature. And sometime later, a missionary with the language told him that a number of the people who had accepted the tracts had become believers. A good testimony through service. In the last year and a few months, the local congregation where I am, Grace Mennonite, sponsored two refugee families from Syria. And it's given us joy in that kind of service. And also they have sensed, I think, our love for them. Another blessing is a sense of fulfillment. You know, we tire of the pleasures we receive, but we never tire of those that we give. Thank you for sitting down. Listen to David Livingston.
People talk of the sacrifice I've made spending so much of my life in Africa. Can that be called a sacrifice which simply pays back a small part of the great debt we owe to God? Is anything a sacrifice when it brings its own blessed reward in healthy activity, consciousness of doing good, peace of mind, and a bright hope of a glorious destiny hereafter? Away with such a thought. It's not sacrifice, it's a privilege.
God did not save you to be a sensation. He saved you to be a servant. Nathan Schaeffer wrote, "At the close of life, the question will not be how much have you got, but how much have you given? Not how much have you won, but how much have you done? Not how much have you saved, but how much have you sacrificed? Not how much were you honored, but how much have you served?" Adapted something that said, reasons or questions that God won't ask you when you get to heaven. God won't ask you what kind of car you drove. He'll ask how many people you drove who didn't have transportation. God won't ask you the square footage of your house. He'll ask how many people you welcomed into your house. God won't ask you how many pictures you posted on Facebook of yourself smiling and impressing others, but how many smiles you prompted on the faces of new Christians. God will not ask how many followed you on Twitter, but how many you've helped to be followers of Christ. God won't ask you about the clothes you had in your closet. He'll ask you how many you helped to clothe. God won't ask you what your job title was. He'll ask if you performed your job to the best of your ability. God won't ask how many friends you had. He'll ask how many people to whom you were a friend. God won't ask you in what neighborhood you lived. He'll ask how you treated your neighbors. God won't ask you how many runs you've batted home, but how many you've helped to reach the heavenly home. God is not looking for stars on the world stage. He's looking for servants in the local congregation and community and mission field. Don't have a star mentality. Have a servant heart. Thank you for your prayers.
This recording and many others are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. For more information, call 1-814-789-4769 or visit us online at www.christianlearning.org.